All right, so we'll say, let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Lamed Dalet 134. We are picking up on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis 133b, and we are picking up at Ibailahu, which is 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom, last two words on the line. Our Shiurim this month are dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack in commemoration of the Artsites of Paul's parents, Shmuel Ben Zachariah, Sarah Bas Avram, Zichronon Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamos will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. And I will say with that, let's begin. Ibailahu. Harosh Shalchas. Remember again, in yesterday's daf, we spoke about the interesting idea about if you have an animal owned b'shutfus, you have a jointly owned animal. So let me go back. The Mishnah tells you that if I have a jointly owned animal, that halacha l'maisa, such an animal is pater from matanos, since the Kohen has an ownership interest in it. We then got into the cases yesterday about what happens if, instead of when we talk about a jointly owned animal, that means both people have a chilek in the entire animal. Let's say it's not like that. Let's say the partnership interest is divided up by parts of the animal. So we discussed yesterday the idea, we saw that halacha l'maisa, if let's say the Yisrael owns the head, right? So that paters him from the lechayayim, from the jaw, but he will still be obligated ultimately again, potentially. Or excuse me, if the Kohen owns the head, right? So any part of the body where there is a Kohanic ownership interest, that will exempt that part of the animal from the Matana, but the other parts will be Chayiv in the Matana. So the Gemara goes further with this line of questioning. Yibayilahu, harosh shalcha b'kula shali, mahu. So we'll say, what happens in the following case? Let's say a Kohen says to Yisrael, the head of the animal is yours, but the rest of the animal is mine. So what's the halacha? Mahu. Baser chiyu vazlinum. So do we say, well, look, we look at the part of the animal that's obligated. All the Yisrael owns is what? Is the head. And therefore, the Yisrael ultimately should be chayiv in the chayayim. Or, so baser chiyu vazlinum, v'chiyu v'gavi Yisraelu. Odilma baser ikar behima azlinum, v'ikar behima de koinu. So we'll say, in this case over here, all the Yisrael owns is the head. The Kohen owns the rest of the animal. So do we look ultimately again, say, Yisrael, you own the head. You own the head, and therefore you have to give the jaw. Or do we say the Iker animal is owned by the Kohen? Come on, just because Yisrael owns the head, this is a Kohanic animal. And therefore, again, the animal in its entirety should be pater ultimately from Matanos. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's analyze this. Ovi kochavim the Kohen shemas return on the Yisrael, ligzos pater. So we'll say an interesting case. If a non-Jew and a Kohen give their sheep to Yisrael to shear, it's pater from Reishis Agatz. They're both saying, now that's an obvious case because the Yisrael doesn't own this animal. The Yisrael is providing a service of shearing the animals. So because of that, the Yisrael has no obligation of the first shearings vis-a-vis these animals. On the flip side, halokeach gaz sono shel ovei kochavim, pater me Reishis Agatz. Interestingly enough, if one goes ahead and purchases the first shearings of an akum, he is also pater from Reishis Agatz. He's also pater from giving the Kohen the first shearings. Now the novelty over here that Rashi points out is like this. Let's say the Akum has a sheep. The sheep is about to be shorn. I, the Yisrael, buy the rights to the shearings even before the shearing takes place. So halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah, the Brisa says that I am pater from Reishis Agatz in that situation. And this is a chumrah that matanos have over first shearings. Look at Rashi. Last two lines on the dafta. Lokeach matanos min hakohen chayiv, or actually it's changed to chayim, kodem shchita, v'chol behema lakohen, chayiv matanos shelo zocha bahen kodem shchita. So we'll say, so that halacha l'maisa, if a person goes ahead and buys the rights to matanos, prior, ultimately, again, to the shechita of the animal, you are still obligated to give the matanos ultimately to the Kohen because the Kohen did not acquire them. Shema mina, baser chiyuv azlinun shema mina. Therefore, see from this that halacha lemaisa, we go after the chiyuv. So therefore, Rabbi say, for our purposes, in this case over here, where the Yisrael owns the head and the Kohen owns the rest of the body, even though the Kohen owns the primary animal, the Yisrael will still be obligated to give the matanos from the portion of the animal he owns. And I will say, which is it's the same theme that we've seen throughout, which is whenever you have actual joint ownership in an animal, joint ownership meaning that a Kohen and a Yisrael actually each own different parts of the animal, the part that is owned by the Kohen will be potter from Matanos, but the part that is owned by the Yisrael will be chayiv in Matanos. So in this case over here, where the Yisrael owns the head, the Kohen owns the rest of the body, so the Yisrael will be obligated to give the Matanos from the jaw, from the head that he owns, from the Lechayayim. Good. Top of Kof Lamed Daled. Or Minu, the Gemara raises the Kasha. Amenas Shamatanos Shavi, interesting case. Let's say a Kohen sells an animal to a Yisrael. And what happens? What happens? He says, I'm selling you this animal on the condition that the matanos are mine. It's an interesting case. I'm selling. So remember, the Kohen is in livestock. He's selling a Yisrael an animal, and he's telling him, I'm selling you the animal on the condition that you give me the matanos. So we'll say, what's the halacha? No sin l'chol Kohen shiyirtze. Ultimately, again, I have to give matanos. As a Yisrael, I have to give matanos, but I have the right to give it to any Kohen that I want. In other words, I'm not bound to give it to that Kohen. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Kohen Shemachar Behema Li Yisrael, Va'amr Lo Amenash Shamatano Shali, Nosna Li Yisrael Lechol Kohen Sheyirtze, Techeva Dekula Behema Zavin Le, Lo Matsi Le Isnuye Le, Hai Amatanos, She'inan Shalom, Elo Shal Kohanim Ninu. Supposed to listen to this? So interestingly enough, what it sounds like the Gemara is saying is like this. Although the Matanos belong to Kohanim, they belong to what? No Kohen in particular. Therefore, when the Kohen sells me the sheep, he has no right to stipulate that I have to give him the matana. Okay, that's the first case. Now watch this. So the Gemara says, now we'll say what's interesting about this is as follows, that halacha lemaisa, this seems to go ahead and pose a problem. Why? So if you look at the rest of the Rashi, Rashi says over here, so we'll say, what you see over here is that halacha lemaisa, such an animal is chayv in matanos. Now this seems to go against that which we learned in the Mishnah, to which the Gemara says over here, amanas achutz karamis. Now you're comparing two different cases. The case that you just went ahead and told us was a case of amanas. And we'll say, what was the case in the Mishnah? The case in the Mishnah was im amar chutz min hamatanos. Right? If a Kohen went ahead and hashochet l'Kohen l'Ovid kocham patam min hamatanos v'mishtateif mehem tzarech jeyosham v'im amar chutz min hamatanos patam min hamatanos. So we'll say this was a case of seemingly where Yisrael was in shutfos with a Kohen, and the Kohen said, I'm giving you the animal chutz min hamatanos. So what's the halacha? What did the Mishnah say? Patra min hamatanos. The Rebbe say, what does that mean, patra min hamatanos? Patra min hamatanos means that the Yisrael is exempt from giving additional matanos. Why? Because the Kohen keeps the matanos. So in the Mishnah, it sounds like over here, that when the Kohen says, chutz min hamatanos, I'm selling you this animal, except for the matanos, the Kohen gets to keep the matanos. Yet, in this case over here, when the Kohen says, I'm selling you the animal al minas, on the condition that I get to keep the matanos, then what? It doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. The Yisrael has to give the matanos, but he gives it to whoever he wants. So see here the contradiction. Again, the Mishnah said, again, one more time. Kohen says, I'm selling you the animal chutz min hamatanos. Mishnah says, no problem. Sale is good. Who gets the matanos? The Kohen seller. Case we just brought down in the Braisa, Kohen sells me an animal. He says, Al minas, shamatano shali. I'm giving to you on the condition that the matanos are mine. What's the halacha? I have to give matanos, but what? Anyone I want. So what's going on over here? Twitch Gemara says, no. Two different cases. Al minas, achutz karamis. Again, two different cases. The case of the Mishnah is chutz, with the exclusion of. The case in the Braisa is al minas. They will say, what's the difference? Chutz shiyurahu. Almanas lab shiura. But it's an interesting distinction. Chutz is a shiur. Chutz means I am pulling something out of the sale. When the Kohen says, I'm selling you the animal chutz min hamatanos, what he's saying is, the sale does not govern these matanos. It's not part of the transaction. Almanas is what? Almanas is a condition in the sale. So the Braisa teaches me if the kohen makes a condition on the sale, you don't have a right to make that kind of condition, kohen. It's not yours, meaning it belongs to the kahuna, but you can't claim that as your own. You could pull something out of the sale, absolutely, you could pull it out of the sale, but you can't make it a condition of the sale. Or immediately, the Gemara says, really, is that true? Plus, we have another Braisa. This second Braisa says that what? If a kohen sells the animal to the Yisrael almanas on the condition that the matanos are mine, the matanos are his. So we'll say, so now we have even a bigger problem. So it seems that almanas works the same way as chutz, that it does work. So what's going on over here? Baha pligi. So we'll say, so okay, so now here's the machlokis between the two brises. Mar savra almanas shiurahu, umar savra almanas lav shiurah. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what we have now is a fundamental machlokes about how almanas works. So let's go back to what we know. What we know and what everyone seems to agree on is that what will work, Rabbi Yossi, in this type of transaction? Chutz. Chutz works. Why does chutz work? Because chutz pulls out the matanos from the sale. So if the kohen comes over to me and he says to me, I'm selling you this animal, chutz min ha-matanos, what he is effectively doing is pulling the matanos out of the sale. Okay, if it's not part of the sale, it's not part of the sale. There's nothing to talk about. Therefore, again, the kohen gets to keep the matanos. If the kohen says, I'm selling you this animal, almanas, on the condition that you give me the matanos, does that work or not? Seems to be not. It seems to be. It is a machlokes. What's the machlokes predicated on? The machlokes is, how does almanas transactionally impact a sale? Is almanas considered to be a shiur, that you're pulling something out of the sale, or is it a condition in the sale? If it's a condition in the sale, such a condition will be invalid for a kohen to make. If it's pulling it out of the sale, a shiur, then ultimately, again, it will work. So most I say the Gemara ends off ultimately with a machlokis, but an interesting one. Amar lo machar li b'nei me'ah. So let's remember again, the Mishnah, the next case in the Mishnah says, Amar lo amar machar li b'nei me'ah shel para, vayu behen matano. So most I go over to the butcher, and I say to the butcher, sell me the insides of the animal, of the cow. And inside, and part of the insides, were the matnos kahuna. So what's the halacha? Nosna la kohen, I give it to the kohen, ve'eno menakilo min adamim. But ultimately, again, I don't reduce the purchase price. However, lachan heimeno b'mishkal, if I bought the meat by weight, then what? I separate out the matanos, u'menakilo min adamim. And ultimately, I do go ahead and reduce the purchase price from the kohen. From the butcher. Says the Gemara, Amarav, lo shanu ela sheshakal yatzmo. This is only true when you measured out the insides of the cow yourself. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Lo shanu, heichad delaka chemenu b'mishkal, diktani nostan lokeach l'kohen, v'chozer v'taveh damim min atabach. So we'll say, when do we say, in the case of where I'm purchasing the meat by measurement, so therefore again, I buy the insides of the cow by measurement, right, by weight, I give the portion to the kohen, and then what happens? I go back to the butcher to reclaim the lost money. Rav says, when is that true? Only when I weighed it myself. I did the weighing myself. Look at Rashi. So one more time. Lo shanu, hecha delakach heimenu b'mishkal, diktani nostan lokeach l'kohen, v'chozer v'taveh adam min atabach. So we'll say, when is it that I give the matanos, then go to reclaim the money from the butcher? Ella, Rashi says, kishashaklan lokeach liatzmo. Only when the purchaser weighed the insides of the animal himself. Dechivan de tabach lo naga bahen, eno bal dvarim shal kohen, lefichach zeha lokeach nosnon, v'hu shoa lo hadamim shala tabach haya muta litin. So let's remember again, this goes back to what we learned before. The din of matnos kuna, this is actually very interesting, is actually on the butcher. See, we would normally think that the din of matnos kuna was on the owner of the animal, but we already saw before, so the drush we had a couple of days ago, that the din of matlos kun is on the butcher. So Rav says like this: If I the purchaser weighed the insides of the meat myself, so the butcher really had nothing to do with the matanos. I give the matanos to the kohen, and then what? Halacha lemaisa, I go back to the butcher to reclaim my money. However, aval shakal lo tabach, but if it was the butcher who weighed out the meat, then hadin im hatabach. Then ultimately, again, the coins claim is against the butcher himself. Look at Rashi. Aval shaklan lo tabach hadin, shal koinu machlokusu tibiyaso af ala tabach, v'atabach chozer aleyen im yesh be'en nos lekoin. So Rav is making a very interesting distinction. Rav is saying pretty much, whoever measures out the meat, is the one who is obligated vis-a-vis the matnos kuna. So it's pretty much whoever handles the merchandise is obligated ultimately again to make good by the coin. Rabasi says no. Afilu shakolo tabach hadin imo. It's not true. Even if halacha lemaisa, even if Rav Asi says, even if it was the butcher who went ahead and measured out the meat, the Kohen's claim is not with the butcher, but rather the Kohen's claim is with the purchaser. Look at Rashi, Hadinimo, Dino shel Kohen utviyaso im halokeachu. The claim of the Kohen is with the lokeach, the purchaser. Hoil v'yeshna l'gzeila ben. So again, we'll discuss why that is in just a moment. So an interesting machlokes. So remember again, what I have over here is I'm giving my animal to the butcher, to the Kohen. Well, I should say, the butcher is shechting the animal. So the Mishnah said was as follows. If I go ahead and I purchase the insides of the animal by weight, I am obligated to go ahead and give out my matnos kuna, and then I settle up again with the tabach. So Rav says, when is that true? Right, ultimately, again, when I weighed it myself. When I weighed it myself, then I have to give the matnos kuna away, and then I settle up for the difference in what I paid and the difference of what I get with the butcher. But if the butcher is the one who weighed it out, then what? He's the one who's got to settle up with the Kohen. Rav Asi says, it doesn't make a difference who weighs out the merchandise. At the end of the day, the lokeach, the purchaser, is the one who has to dispense the matnos kuna. Says the Gemara, what are they arguing about? Leimud Rav Chista kamiflagi. The Amr Rav Chista, listen to this. Gezel v'lo nesiyah shua bailim. Listen to this. We'll say, let's say, again, there was stolen merchandise, right? But the owners did not despair of retrieving it. They didn't have yeyosh. Uba acher v'achlo. And ultimately, again, someone else comes along and consumes the merchandise. So we'll say, it's a very simple case. Reuven steals an item from Shimon. Shimon is not miyaish. Shimon has not given up hope of finding it. What happens? Levi comes along and now consumes, utilizes the item. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Who does Shimon collect from? Does Shimon collect from Reuven, the original thief? Or does he go ahead and collect from Levi, who is now in possession or was in possession of the item? So what's the halacha? Ratza mizegova, ratza mizegova. So we'll say, so the halacha is, Rav Chista says, that Shimon, who is the victim here, can collect from either party. He could collect from Reuven, the initial thief, or he could collect from Levi, the subsequent thief. So the Gemara says, Demar isleid Rav Chista, Umar lesleid Rav Chista. So we'll say, hear what's happening over here? The Gemara is suggesting that matnos kuhuna, essentially, if they're not initially dispensed to the Kohen, have the din of gezel, have the din of stolen items, over which the owners have not had yeyosh. So the question is, upon whom does the obligation ultimately, who does the coin have the claim against? So is it the butcher? Is it the purchaser? Or if Chista says pretty much, you could go after whoever you want. So one opinion holds. So we're going to say, for example, Rav Asi will hold like Rav Chista, and Rav does not hold like Rav Chista. To which the Gemara says, lo, that is not true. The Chuli Alma Isud Rav Chista. Everyone agrees with Rav Chista's statement, but there's something different happening over here. B'hacha b'matanos kuna n'gzalos kamiflagi. I will say here, actually, what they're arguing about is this interesting idea. Can matnos kuhuna be stolen or not? Demar saver n'gzalos. Umar Savra Einon Igzalos. One opinion holds they can be stolen. One opinion holds that they cannot be stolen. I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Bahacha, Begezel Matnos Kuna Kamiflagi, Mar Savra Matnos Kuna Igzalos, Vines Chayiv Gazlan Begazluso, Lishalim de Toras Gezalayan, Umar Savra Einon Igzalos, In Koach Legazlan Lechozwan Shein Ve'en, Komokom Shoch and Achov, Mutla Ami Shehim Etzlo, Lisito Lekoin, Varishal Nasa Gazal. I will say, watch this. Can matnos kuhuna be stolen or not? So we'll say, watch this. Say if you hold that matnos kuhuna can be stolen, so we'll say, this scenario, who's the thief? Who's the thief? It's the butcher. Why is it the butcher? Because lemaisa, again, it was the butcher's obligation to dispense the matnos kuhuna. Say if you hold that matnos kuhuna can be stolen, the butcher is the thief. If the butcher is the thief, then who does the coin have the claim against? The butcher. If, on the other hand, you hold that matnos kuhuna cannot be stolen, they can't be stolen. They're not subject to the halachos of theft. Therefore, I will say, no one in this situation is a thief. Rather, again, who does the coin, quote-unquote, have the claim against? Whoever has the merchandise. Whoever actually has it. It cannot be, so I will say, just to understand, the halacha with theft is that when someone steals something, there are kinyone gzela. A thief acquires something to a story, which is why the claim, the monetary claim, is against the thief. If the thief doesn't acquire something, then halacha lamaisa, again, you could say the thief could say, I don't have it anymore. If I don't have it anymore, there's no claim against me. There's a kinyan that's there. So apparently the fundamental machlokes over here is, can matnos kahuna be stolen or not? One opinion saying yes, therefore the claim is against the butcher, because he, quote unquote, is the thief. Other opinion says no, therefore the claim is against whoever has the merchandise in his possession. Others frame this machlokes in a different way. Rav Amar Matnos Kuhuna Gzalos. Rav says Matnos Kuhuna can be stolen. Rav Asi Amar Matnos Kuhuna Ein Gzalos. Rav Asi says Matnos Kuhuna cannot be stolen. Rav will say the way the Rambam Paskins is like Rav, that indeed Matnos Kuhuna can be stolen, and therefore again in a situation where the butcher does not go ahead and dispense Matnos Kuhuna, so technically speaking the claim would be against him. Now, I will say, now, just so you understand, more often than not, this is an unenforceable claim for a simple reason, which is that it's mamon she'en l'tovim. Remember, again, it's difficult for a kohen to claim you gave away my matanos. Remember, again, the butcher may have given away matanos, but which are the entitlement of the kahuna, but no particular kohen. I'll tell you where this does come up very quickly. Where this does come up is in the case of makire kahuna, where we know historically that there are relationships with people who I had a kohen. I have a kohen. Mostly this comes up all the time. You know, my mother's whole side of my family are all kohanim. So you could imagine times of the Beis HaMikdash, who would I be giving my matanos to? I'd be giving it to my grandfather. I'd be giving it to my uncles. I love the kohanim here, but I'm giving it to my family kohanim. So mostly you had situations like that where halacha maaseh was clear that my matnos kuhuna were going in a certain direction. So there could be some type of claim. But again, the point over here is what we are paskening, matnos kuhuna are subject to gezel, and therefore halacha maaseh in a case where the butcher gave it away, the claim would be against the butcher. Good. We'll say, here we go. Incredible gemaras. Gershon is Geyer. Listen to this case. Ger converted. Vaisala para. Right? Listen to this. He had a cow. Nishchatachlan is Geyer Potter. So we'll say, so obviously, if the Ger shechted the cow before it became a Ger, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, the cow was not subject to matnos kahuna. Mishen is Geyer. Obviously, if he shechted the cow after he converted, chayiv. He's chayiv. Safek. We'll say, what about if you're not sure? You're not sure, it was a busy day, right? I don't know, did I shecht it before conversion? Did I shecht it after conversion? So what's the halacha? Safek potter. So we'll say, potter from matnos kuhuna, why? Shamotzi michabira alav haraya. Because we'll say again, this is a chosha mishpat case. Because remember, again, this is a monetary claim. The kohen has a claim against the ger for the matnos kuhuna. The kohen has to prove it. Whoever wants to, remember again, whenever you want to extract money from someone, the burden of proof is always upon the extractor. So therefore, again, if we're not sure, did the ger shecht before gerus, after gerus, the obligation is upon the kohen to show that he shechted after gerus. Says the Gemara, ki asur avdimi amar rami the Rabbi Shemel Lakish Rabbi Yochanan tnan safek pater. Amma sveika lekula. So we'll say, so what did we learn in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, we learned that if you have a safek matnos kuhuna, right? Safek chiyuv by matnos kuhuna, sveiko pater. So we'll say, amma sveika lekula. We'll say, interestingly enough, so what do you see from here? You see that a safek is resolved leniently. Now the truth is, it's a little bit misleading. That's not really why this safek is resolved lekula. This is really amotzi mechavero alav harayo. Right, so okay, but nevertheless, the way the Gemara is understanding this is you have a suffix, we're resolving the suffix leniently, and therefore the ger does not have to give matnos kuhuna from this animal whose status is unclear. Or minhu, I'll raise a kasha. Listen to this interesting case. Chori hanamalim shebesoch hakama hare elu shebalabayis. Listen to this, Rabbi say. If you have ant holes, that's what chori hanamalim literally are ant holes. And Rabbi say, what it means is as follows. That halacha lemaisa, again, there are holes in the field, and there are stalks of grain that are falling into the holes. So we'll say, so the shayla is, who does that belong to? Is that leket, right, is that stuff that was gleaned but then fell that has to be left for the poor? Or is it just my own grain that got stuck in there? So the Gemara says as follows. If you have ant holes and there's grain that falls into the ant holes, Hari Elu Shabala Bayis. Shabbos says, if the ant holes are in front of the reapers, which means that they have not yet harvested that part of the field, then what? That wheat belongs to the owner of the field. Ushala Achra Kotrin. But if you go ahead and you find wheat in the ant holes behind the reapers, then what? Ha'el yonim la'aniyim. So the wheat stalks that are on top of the hole, that belongs to the poor, because we assume ultimately again that that's leket. Va'tachtonim shabalabayis. But stuff that's deeper in the hole, we will assume that halacha lemaisa that belongs to the owner of the field. Rabbi Meir says hakol la'aniyim. Rabbi Meir says no, everything belongs to the poor. Why? Shesafek leket leket. Because it will say doubtful case of leket, right? Safik leket is leket. So we'll say, so now watch this. What do you see from here? So here's a case of where what? Safik is resolved how? Stringently. Safik leket leket. So we'll say, so understand. So you'll say to yourself, fine, that's leket. This is matanos. No, but so you could see that there's a common denominator here, right? They're both talking about gifts that I have an obligation to give to other members of Klal Yisrael. Matnos, Kahuna, Aniyim. So why is it that we're resolving suffek matanos lekula, but yet suffek leket lechumra, to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, Omer HaKofan, Amar Leis, he said to him, Al tak niteni, don't bother me with this, shebeloshon yachid ani shona osa. Remember again, I understand that the Mishnah ultimately, again, is a das yachid. Look at Rashi, Al tak niteni, second wide line, Safek leket leket yichidahi. Both say this statement of a safek leket is a solitary opinion. Right? This is one person. This is not the majority opinion, as opposed to the Mishnah, which does reflect a majority opinion. The safek leket leket camp is one opinion of Rabbi Meir. Shani Shona Osa Kimosha Shenis Div Rabbi Meir, Eladiv Rabbi Huda ben Igra Mishun Rabbi Meir. So Gemara says, Al Tak Nish Rabbi Yachid Ani Shona Osa. Disanya, Rabbi Huda ben Igra Om Mishun Rabbi Meir, Safek Leket Leket, Safek Shicha Shicha, Safek Peya Peya. So both say, so again, therefore the first answer is, it's not a contradiction, because this statement by Leket is a Das Yachid. It's one person's interpretation of the position of Rabbi Meir, but in no way represents a consensus opinion, as opposed to the Mishnah, which does represent a consensus opinion. Amar lo, he says, no, that's not a good answer. I don't care, even if you told me this over in the name of Ben Tadol. But say, who's Ben Tadol? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Al tishana osa ela b'lashon ben Tadol. Afilu eina tashona osa ela b'shem shote sheba olam shishmo ben Tadol. So apparently there was this guy who was named Ben Tadol, who was known as a real shota. He was a little bit insane. So whenever people wanted to say, like when you ever wanted to call someone insane, you would call them a ben tadal. So whether that's an actual person or whether somehow that name is descriptive, whatever it is, the point that he's saying over here is that it doesn't make a difference. Even if you tell me it's a das yochid, an individual opinion, it's still important to explore it. V'hataymu ka'amar. Because remember again, ultimately, there is logic that is being expressed here. Damar Rishim and Lakish, ma'idich sev. So we'll say, so let's analyze this. Why do we say, safek leket leket, safek shichacha shichacha, safek peya peya? There's a logic. Why? Damar Rishim and Lakish, ma'idich sev, ani barash hatzdik. We'll say, what's the meaning of the pasuk that says, you shall go ahead and, literally, the ani and the rash, the poor person, the impoverished individual, hatzdiku. Hatzdiku literally means like exonerate, or you know, make them righteous. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, my hatzdiku ilima bedinim. If it means that you should judge in their favor, that can't be. V'haksiv v'dalo said davarivo. Pasuk explicitly says you can't give preferential treatment to a poor person in a Beis Din dealing. Elet sedek mishalcha v'seinlo. Rather, what does it mean? It means deal justly with him when it comes to your own money and gift him. Which also means what? This is actually a fascinating halacha, which tells me that halacha l'maisa, if I have a suffix about whether or not I am chayiv to give tzedakah, give the tzedakah. Give the tzedakah. So interestingly enough, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the concept of safek leket leket, safek shichacha shichacha, safek peya peya, is based on this pasuk of ani varash hatzdiku. That literally, again, if there's a doubt about whether or not I am chayiv in something vis-a-vis the poor, or on the side of caution, err on the side of the impoverished individual and give it ultimately again to tzedakah. So the Gemara goes right to Amar Rava. Rava says, so just to point out over here, so just so you see, this is the distinction. So over here in the case of the leket shechacha and peah, so halacha lemaisa, I'm going to, if I have a suffix, I'm just going to count it all as leket shechacha and peah. In the Mishnah Rabosai, again, there's a different halacha over here. This is by matnos kuna. So why not say by matnos kuna also? Isn't that a form of tzedakah? And therefore, maybe I should give if I'm a supak, right? The ger doesn't know that I shecht before geirus, after geirus, I should have to go ahead and give it. Watch this, Rabosai. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says, first wide line, Kof Lam Dalet Amar Dalef, Amar Rava, para becheskas ptura kaima. Kaima becheskas chiyuva kaima. Rabosai, Rava says something amazing. Rava says, here's the distinction. This par has a cheskas ptur. Why does it have a cheskas ptur? Why does it have a chazaka that is exempt from matnos kuna? Because it belongs to a guy. Because it belongs to a Gentile. Remember, again, this person was not Jewish. That we know. So the chazaka was, he spent his entire life as a non-Jew. So therefore, the chazaka is that it was shechted before he became Jewish. The wheat, right, the wheat itself has a chazaka that it is subject to the halachos of leket shechachon peah. Therefore, again, if there's a suffix, we go after the chazaka. The chazaka by animal exempts it, the chazaka by wheat obligates Amalei Abaye. One second. Vahari Isa Naasis. So what about this following case? Vahari Isa, when it comes to the case of a doe, we'll say literally a doe, right? Naasis Achlonis Gayer Pata Min Achalo. If the ger made it before he converted, it's Pata from Chalo. Mishnes Gayer Chayiv. Once he converts, obviously he makes a doe, right? So ultimately he's Chayiv. Safek Chayiv. What happens if he's not sure? Did I make the doe before I converted, after I converted? What's the halacha? Chayiv. Wow, what's going on over here? Well, so remember again, this is Chala. Chala is also one of the matnos kunas. So what's happening? Here we go. Amr Lehi is incredible. Safek Isur L'chumra, Safek Mamona L'kula. We'll say, here it is. Right? Everything depends on the nature of the prohibition we're dealing with. Chala is a Safek Isser. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, Oh yeah, Chala. Safek Isur Sheyesh Ba Avon Misa. Rabbi will say, Chala is Isser. If a Zar, this doesn't apply today when we separate out our Chala. Right? But if a Zar, if a non-Kohen goes and eats Chala, the Mamish is punishable by Misa. Hilchach, lo samchino na chazaka. So Rabbi will say, when it comes to Isser, we're much more careful. Therefore, in the case of Isser, we're going to tell you separate out Chala. Rabbi will say, the case of Matnos Kuna is not Isser. How do we know it's not Isser, Rabbi will say? What happens if a Yisrael goes ahead and eats the Matnos Kuna? What happens? I mean, it's not good. It's certainly, we look down upon such a thing like that. But it's not, it's just like eat truma chas v'shalom, like eat chala chas v'shalom. Right? So again, so therefore you see, matnos kuna is a din in mamon. It is a financial claim. Therefore, I both say, one is a case of safek mamon, one is a case of safek iser. Safek isur l'chumra, safek mamona l'kula. I both say, incredible. So when you have a safek in iser, you'll be machmir. Therefore, again, if you're not sure, did you separate out the chala? Right, did you make the dough before you converted, after you converted? We're going to tell you to separate out chala. But safek mamon, which is the case of the matnos kuhuna, the mishnah, ultimately, it will be Mekel. But I will say, I can remember, when we say Mekel and Safek Mamon, what we're really saying is, as the Mishnah said, Hamotzi Mechaveira Alav Haraya. So the Gemara goes like, Domra Chista Vechintani Rabchia, Shmona Svekas and Ne'emru Beger. There are eight different cases of Safek that are said by a Ger. Arba Lechiyuf, Va'arba Liftar. Four of them are resolved, ultimately, again, with an obligation, and four of them are resolved with an exemption. We'll say, which are the four? Karban Ishto. So we'll say, if let's say the ger's wife gave birth, right, and it's not clear, again, did this happen, right, did she give birth when she was non-Jewish, or did she give birth when she was Jewish? Is there an obligation to bring that karban? V'chala, and whether or not, again, we'll say, these are all cases of whether or not these events occurred prior to conversion or after conversion. V'chala, ubachar behema, firstborn of a non-kosher animal, ubachar behema, tahora, l'chir. Rabbi say, all of these cases are ultimately going to be resolved, l'chir. Rabbi say, what's the common denominator in all of these cases? These are all cases of iser. Masha'inkin, amud beis, reishes hagaz, v'hamatanos, u'pidyon aben. Rabbi say, in the case of the first shirings, matnos kuhuna, pidyon aben, pidyon peter chamor, lift. Rabbi say, these are all cases ultimately of what? Of mamon, and therefore halacha lemaisa, will be resolved leniently. And again, I will say, when we say resolving cases of money leniently, what are we really saying? Hamotzi mechavera alav harayo. Then in general, I will say, again, this is like Dine Mamines Choshen Mishpat 101. If you want to extract money from someone, the chazaka is, he who has the money owns it. If you want to change that and you want to extract, then halacha lemaisa, the burden of proof is upon you, the extractor. So the Gemara goes right to ki asa rabin amar kama kama ramilei. So Rosa, when Rabin came along, he actually said that there are actually two contradictory cases of standing wheat. If you look at Rashi, kama kama karamilei masnisa achrisi ashkachul amir the pater kama shel ger safek. The suffix nixra kodim shinizkai, suffix shinizkai, but I'm yah, how the kani suffix leket, leket, bishon ben egre, fine. So I'll say, so ultimately, again, all that's happening here is when Ravin came along, he said, by the way, I found another braisa in which Rabbi Meir contradicts himself, which Rabbi Meir holds, suffix leket is not leket, suffix leket, shikha, and peah are resolved ultimately leniently, and ultimately you don't have the shira like leket, shikha, and peah, to which the Gemara then responds, there's a machlokas ultimately about what Rabbi Meir says. So we'll say, for our purposes, what comes out over here is as follows. The Mishnah paskins that if you have a suffix about matnos kuhuna, what's the halacha? The owner of the animal is not obligated to give those matonos. Why? Hamotzi michadera la faraya. Yet, if you have a suffix regarding leket, shikha, and peah, what's the halacha? We rule, quote unquote, lechumra. The objects become leket, shikha, and peah, seemingly based on that pasuk of ani verash hatstiku. That whenever you have a doubt about tzedakah, the law always sides with the aniyim. Incredible. The Gemara goes right there. Levi zara bikishar. So we'll say Levi had wheat. He planted stuff in Kishar. Kishar is the name of a place. But lo havu aniyim lemishkal leket. So we'll say here was the problem. He had leket, and there were no poor people. We'll say, can you imagine that? Can you imagine, right? Living in a place where there are no poor people. Incredible, wherever this Kishar place is. Right? So there was mom saying he has leket, but there are no paupers. So what do you do? Also came to Rav Sheshes. So he comes to a far of Sheshes. Amrle, la ani velager tazovosam, velo la arvim, velo la atalfim. So the halacha is you have to leave leket, shichon peah, for the ani and the ger, but literally not for the ravens and not for the bats. In other words, that you don't leave it in the field to be consumed by the animals. So I will say, so what that sounds like over here is that halacha lemaisa, what it sounds like is that if there's no one to leave it for, then there's no obligation. So meisvei, so gemara is the kasha, ein mevi'in truma, lo migoren li'ir, v'lo memidbar li'yishuv. So I will say, the halacha is, if I have truma, I am not obligated to transport the truma to another location to find kohanim. In other words, then I don't have to go out looking for kohanim to give my truma to. So the gemara says, v'in ein sham kohen, so, but if there is no kohen there, what do? So, socher para umevia mifnei hefset truma. But I will say, but however, I don't want truma to rot. So literally, again, if there is no kohen in my locale, then what's the halacha? The halacha is that I hire a cow to go ahead and transport the truma to somewhere where there is a kohen. Why? Because otherwise there'll be a loss to truma. So I'll say, what do you see from here? Look at Rashi. Ve'im in sham kohen, ama bailach rusha olatznua, ad mishkach kohen. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that, let's say, for example, I live in a place where there are no kohanim. So you don't say that just because there's no kohanim, I don't have an obligation to separate out truma. Rather, I separate out truma, and I actually have to take even the steps to get the truma to the kohen at some point in time. If that's the case, then why doesn't that same halacha apply to leket, shechacha, and peah? That again, even if there's no ani there, right, peah is a little bit different, but at least by leket and shechacha, I should have an obligation to what? To go ahead and transport it to the ani. To which the Gemara says, shiny truma, ditivla below sagula delo mifrashla. Truma is different, Rabbi Yosef, because the halacha is you have to separate out truma. Why do you have to separate out truma? Because if you don't separate out truma, your food is tevel. If your food is tevel, you cannot eat it. So once I have an obligation to separate it out already, then what? Then I have an obligation to go ahead and get it to the coin. Look at Rashi, shiny truma ditivla oseres akola mishum tevela fita. Al karcho, sarech lahafrish, right? Therefore, I will say halacha lemaisa, because ultimately, again, I have to separate it out. Once you have to separate it out in order to eat the rest of your crop, then halacha lemaisa, you have to get it to the kohen as well. I have hari matanos, dilo tavli. But one sec, what about matanos? I will say, we're back to matanos. What about matnos kunav, the zror lechaim, the keva, which ultimately, again, do not make the rest of the meat teva, which means I could eat the meat, even if I don't separate out the matanos. V'tanya, and yet we learned, Makom shenagu limlog ba'agalim. So what's actually interesting, in a place where they used to scald calves. Now what does that mean, scalding calves? So apparently sometimes what they would do is, after you shech the animal, you would normally go ahead and flay it, take off the flesh. So apparently in some places what they would do is they would eat the meat with the skin, with the flesh still on it, the hide still on it. And what they would do is they would scald it. So scalding it removes the hair from the hide, but allows you to eat the animal with the skin on it. So halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah says, the Braisa says over here, that if you live in a place where they eat scalded calves, right, lo yafshit es hazroa. Ultimately, again, you should not go ahead and remove the hide from the zra before giving it to the kohen, because the zra will be part of the matnos kerubos. It's very important, under normal circumstances, when you give the matnos kuna, the matonos are on the meat. The hide, the Yisrael gets to keep. What the Bryson I was saying is, however, if it's a place where they normally eat the hide together with the meat, you cannot remove the hide. The hide is part of the matzana. So the Gemara says, lo yafshit es hazra, lo yafshit es harosh, lo yaf, right? So lo yafshit es harosh, lo yafshit es halechi. So we'll say, if you're taking the skin off the head, ultimately, again, when you give the lechi, when you give the jaw to the kohen, you have to leave the hide on around the jaw. Bim ein sham kohen. I will say that's not the important part for us. Here's the important part for us. Bim ein sham kohen. Let's say again there is no kohen locally. Then what's the halacha? Ma'alin osan bedamin ve'ochlan. I assess the value of the zroa, the lechayayim, and the keva. I set aside that amount of money. I go ahead and what? I'm going to give that to a kohen ve'ochlan, and then I can eat the matanos. You both say, as opposed to, let's say, truma, or leket shichran peh, which are produce, which could keep for a lot longer, meat cannot keep. So if I don't have a coin in my immediate locale, then what does the Raisa tell me to do? Essentially, give the coin the monetary value. You eat the meat, give the coin the monetary value of the matanos. Mehefsid coin. So both say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, even by matnos kahuna, if there's no coin locally, you could eat the meat, but you give the value ultimately to the kohen. So we'll say, which amplifies our question. So why is it that by leket shechacha and peah, right, Levi, there were no aniyim there. So Levi seemingly told, don't worry about it. If there's no aniyim, you have no obligation. But that doesn't seem to be the halacha, to which the Gemara says, shiny matnos kuhuna. Matnos kuhuna are different. Why? The nesina ksivabe. Because we'll say, ultimately, the Torah uses the lashon of nesina. So because it uses the lashon of nesina, it tells you that you have an obligation to give it no matter what. Even if there's no coin present, you have to figure out a way to get it to the coin. Hashda da'asi la'achi, now that you talk about nesina, truma nami nesina ksiva bei. By truma it also says lashon of nesina. Ve'ela tazov yiseira lamali. So ultimately, again, why does the pasuk add in the extra tazov? So I will say this is by leket, shichacha and peya, lamali lichidisanyo. Ultimately, again, I need it for the following halacha. Mafgir es karmo. If somebody makes his karam, somebody makes his vineyard hefker, ulashachar hishkim ubatzro, and the next morning he wakes up, and he decides to harvest from the hefker vineyard, from right the vineyard that was his beforehand, chayiv beperet ubeololos ubeshichacha ubepeya upata min amaisus. Ultimately, again, halacha lamaisa, he is chayiv in peret and olos, which also refers to leaving behind the grapes and underdeveloped clusters, shichacha and peah, but he is potter ultimately again from meiser. So the Gemara says this. So we'll say that's what I learned from that extra tazov. Hahu saka de dinari. So we'll say, so again, what seems to come out of here is as follows. Leket and shichacha and peah ultimately will be different if there's no ani that's present. It appears that I have no obligation to gather it up and transport it to an ani. If there's no ani present, I'm not obligated in these halachos. That is different by matnos kuhuna and different by truma wine, because in both of those concepts, in contexts, the Torah uses the word nesina. Nesina tells me that there is a heightened obligation to give to the point that even if the coin is not local, I must figure out how to get it to him. I'm going to say just a little bit weiter. Hahu saka de dinari de asa lebe medrasha. So let's listen to this. There was a bag of money that showed up in the base medrash. Every day this happens. Every day, right? Right? Bag of money shows up in the base medrash. I'm going to say, this was funds for the poor, which someone sent. They sent it to the base medrash to be distributed to the poor. So what happened? This is actually an interesting story. Kadam Rabbi Ami Vizachman. Rabbi Ami took the bag of money. He took it. He got there first, and he went ahead and he acquired it. So the Gemara says, "Vehechi avet hachi, Rabbi Ami, how exactly did you do this?" Vaksev v'nasan V'lo sheyitol mi'atzmo. But the pasuk says ultimately again that you're supposed to go ahead and give it out and not to take it for yourself. In other words, this is for the poor. So how is Rabbi Ami taking it for himself? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami nami zocha la'aniyim zocha b'ayim. Rabbi Ami was acquiring it on behalf of the poor. In other words, Rabbi Ami was acquiring it to dispense it to the poor. V'yibayim, the other possibility is, Adam Chashav Shani. This is actually very interesting. The other possibility is that an important person is different. What does this mean? Take a look at the first white line in Rashi. You come Rashi. Vibai say Adam Chashav Kigon. Memuna Rashi Shiva. Like, for example, someone who's a Rashi Shiva, important community person, Yochal Lekadeh Mulazakos, has a right to acquire this money. Shari Alav Legadlo Ula Shiro. Because it is incumbent upon the community to make such a person wealthy. Afilu Mishalo. So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying over here is, Rabbi Ami is the Rashi Shiva, and there's an obligation, ultimately, again, to make the Rashi Shiva wealthy. Why is there an obligation to make the Rashi Shiva wealthy? Where do we learn that from? So the Gemara says something amazing. So the Gemara says, Adam Chash the Sanya, Va Kohen HaGodol Me'echav. We'll say, the Pasuk says, the Kohen, who is Godol Me'echav. Literally, it's talking about the Kohen Godol. That I will say now, it's an interesting Lashon over here, the Kohen who is greater, Me'echav, She Godol Me'echav. He is supposed to be greater than his brothers, Benoi, he's supposed to be the most handsome, Bechachma, wisdom, Uba Osher, and ultimately with wealth. Achirim Omrim, Minayim Shim Einlo. So what happens if the most qualified guy for the job is not wealthy? Right, it could happen. He's handsome, he's smart, he's got alamailas, he's just not wealthy. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, She'echav ha-kohanim megadon also. So what happens? The other kohanim pull their resources and invest in this kohen gadol, make him wealthy. Talmud lomar, va'kohen ha-gadol me'echav, gadol mishal'echav. They both say that the pasuk says, the kohen who is gadol me'echav. The Gemara is actually, me'echav means what? As a result of his brothers, that if he does not possess the wealth on his own, halacha lamaisa, they have to invest in us. So we'll say this happens to be halacha by the kuna gedola. Here, the Gemara is kind of extending this to other positions of leadership and prominence. The idea being that the leader is supposed to be wealthy. And we'll say, what's the logic behind that? It's a very simple logic. People respect different things. So some people respect Torah knowledge. Some people respect external appearance. And a lot of people respect money. If halacha lemaisa, you want the kohen gadol to command the respect of the populace, you want the rashi shiva, the communal leader, to hold the respect of the populace, wealth helps by many people. It's not the pshat that he's supposed to have lavish spending habits, but this is a way ultimately of ensuring that his leadership will be accepted ultimately by everyone. All right, we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up from here tomorrow. We'll see where the journey takes us.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.